is a brilliant public speaker, actually. He's an activist, a writer. Please welcome Derek Brose.
All right, is this on? Let's give a round of applause to all these amazing speakers and information you've heard. I've got 10 minutes with you again. I hope you enjoyed what I had to share earlier. I'm going to try to be equally concise and hopefully inspiring. And if we get through this in under 8 minutes, I might share a song with you if you're okay with that. I want to talk about permaculture and indigenous food systems, and as it says, how they can heal the planet. We've heard such a depth of information from our first speaker, which I want to say thank you for sharing the information you shared, because where he started, I'm going to end up, which is to recognize that this is really a eugenics movement, as he kind of pointed to. You don't get to net zero without somehow reducing population, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to first paint a picture for those of you who might not be aware that a lot of the systems we're describing, regenerative agriculture and permaculture, if you're familiar with this term, these come from indigenous food systems. These were all Bill Mollison and David Holmgren, their ideas in many ways, and those who came before them, were inspired by indigenous food systems that have existed all around this planet before the so-called Green Revolution. In the 1940s, this gentleman you're seeing here, his name's Norman Borlaug. He's a botanist. He's got a few different titles. But he is also, or was for quite some time, an employee of the Rockefeller Foundation. And in the 1940s, they went down to Mexico, as you can see here, and started to teach indigenous farmers and indigenous communities, essentially telling them, you don't know what you're doing. We're here to bring pesticides and monocropping and tell you all how to do it the right way, the modern way. And this was, in many ways, the beginning of spreading these concepts, the mass spraying of pesticides, all around the world. And if you go read Wikipedia or any other mainstream book, or what your children are being taught, is that this Green Revolution fed the world. It led to things like GMO rice and saving African farmers and Indian farmers. And the truth is unfortunately much darker than that. I'm sure you guys have read about over the years Indian farmer suicides and, you know, the practices of companies like Monsanto and Syngenta and others. The point is that coming from this, again, a technocratic mindset, as I described earlier, trust the experts. Let's go down there and teach those poor indigenous folks who don't know how to take care of themselves. They've been farming for thousands of years, but surely we know better with our technology and with our chemicals. And this is really the beginning of exporting that mindset all around the world. And to me, I see this revival of interest in permaculture, which is, in some way, it's tied to the climate change narrative. One thing I'll say briefly here is we've had a variety of opinions expressed here, and as Emma just said a moment ago, ultimately, to me, I don't really care if you believe in climate change or not, just like I don't really care if you believe COVID-19 exists or not. If you believe that I own my body and you own your body and that no one has the right to impose or force their will upon us, then I feel like we're on the same team, even if we don't agree on all the details. So, and the reason I say that is because within the permaculture space, there were a lot of people who fell for the COVID narrative, and there are a lot of good-intentioned, well-meaning, brilliant people within the permaculture space and environmental space who do believe in climate change and would probably call some of the statements they've heard today right-wing extremism, right-wing nonsense, right? I think that would be a mistake to do so. But the point is, we don't all agree on everything, on all the various details, and that should be okay. I personally don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of zombies who just repeat everything that, you know, that's the narrative has to be, we must all agree for us to get along. That's sort of what they want to teach us. But if we're going to talk about ideas like diversity and inclusivity, then to me, that's diversity of ideas as well. And we should be mature enough to hear each other and say, okay, well, that person said something I don't necessarily agree with, but I like the rest of the presentation, right? Well, permaculture is a space that I think more of us need to move into. Again, it is essentially a rediscovery of indigenous food systems. It's not just about growing food either. It's really a design school, a design method. It's about the way that we relate to nature, the way we relate to the animals, to the wildlife, to the planet itself, and to each other. And I'll just throw out one resource if you're totally new to permaculture, discoverpermaculture.org. The Australian permaculture teacher, Jeff Lawton, is an amazing, just an amazing teacher. And you can go there and watch 4 free videos about permaculture in the desert, permaculture in an urban environment, permaculture in the countryside, etc. And I encourage you to do that, and not only to learn about it, but again, to learn about the indigenous systems that they're based on. This picture here, these are called chinampas, and these are a traditional growing method that's used in Mexico and other parts of Latin and Central America that is becoming, you know, rediscovered by us in our modern time, but it's been used for a long time. And I believe in what I call decentralized environmentalism. I was involved in Houston, where I'm originally from, in Houston, Texas. I was involved in a project called the Last Organic Outpost, where we came into the poorest neighborhoods of Houston in what's called the Fifth Ward, where it's a food desert. There's no good food for miles. There's a corner store with all the processed garbage, and there's not even a grocery store anywhere in that area that has any kind of produce. And over years, myself and a number of activists, we built this amazing 5-acre farm. It was, you know, it was a true urban farm producing organic greens and potatoes and fruits. And we were growing everything from papaya to moringa. And it was providing food for people in a neighborhood that had never had access to that. And it was so beautiful to see that the neighbors would wander over and say, you know, what's going on over here? And before you know it, they would just come in and pick their weekly crops to take to their family. And it was really benefiting the community. So there are so many things we can do when it comes to the environment and taking care of the planet that don't necessarily have to fall into the climate change narrative, which ultimately, I believe, and if you study it, is an anti-human narrative. And this is there's no speculation or conspiracy theory. Go back and study the Club of Rome, their report, Limits to Growth. And they specifically discuss this idea, as I mentioned earlier, of making humanity the enemy. And we've been told that we're in the 6th mass extinction era and that we are all the problem. But I really think that we wouldn't be here if we thought that we were the problem. Instead, I think that, yes, there are some problematic things humans have done, and we have been a force of destruction. Some of us have been, but overall, we're good people who care about the planet and want to make sure that we leave something for those future generations I was talking about earlier. So we should want to take care of the planet. We should want to do what we can to leave it better than we left it. And we don't need to be afraid of words like sustainability, inclusivity, diversity, regenerative, etc. Yes, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, they use these words, and they use them as buzzwords. I don't believe they truly mean it when they say they want decentralization and they want sustainability. If they do, they want to do it in an imposed way, in a forced way. For myself, I consider myself to be a voluntarist, which means that I believe that all relationships in the world should be voluntary and consensual. And when you look at our relationship with governments, they're anything but voluntary and consensual. And that is the way that the UN, World Economic Forum, using their influence to work with local governments like the C40 organization and others to implement these ideas. They talk about them, they put out their policy papers, and they trickle down to the local level. And they're usually passed on the town council level, like we heard about Oxford, whether you want them or not, right? So this is anything but a true grassroots movement. But that doesn't mean we should reject wholesale anything that has to do with the environment. And I tend to see this kind of reaction happening where there are people who are waking up to the climate agenda, and then because of that, they have this knee-jerk reaction to just shut off to everything permaculture, everything, oh no, he said sustainable, he must be a controlled opposition, something to this effect. We can be smarter than that. We can use discernment. So don't be afraid of words. Learn the true meanings and look past the deception. I encourage you to, for those of you who are tech interested, learn more about decentralized autonomous organizations, DAOs. I don't have time to explain more about that, but the combination of things like permaculture and the positive use cases of technology, we were talking about the potential downsides of technology earlier, but there are also very, very positive things that I've been learning more about communities, one in Portugal, some in South America, that are using things like DAOs and even blockchain, which I think is a technology that can have a positive effect as well as a negative, to create digital seed banks, to store information like Ramiro was talking about earlier, potentially even using things like AI. I just wanted to throw that in there, that we now can take the best of the past, the indigenous knowledge and permaculture, and combine it with the positive aspects of technology. But of course, it's all about using discernment and being careful with how we approach that. And yeah, I think I have time for a song. Is that okay? I hope this is relevant, though. I want to make it relevant. The last thing I wrote here is, yes, this is really about eugenics. If you don't know what eugenics means, this is really about eugenics. I'll just say that. All right, this is just a poem, if you will. I hope you guys will I'm a hip hop artist as well as all the other hats I wear. So I perform music. This is just going to be an acapella, brief. I got 35 seconds. We'll push that a little bit. And just listen to the words. They're coming from my heart, okay? I woke up this morning feeling I had something to say. I got doubt on my mind. It's time to let that fly away. It's time to unlearn poison and heal broken hearts. Go back to the end. It's time for a fresh start. This is the place we can atone for our sins. This is the place where our hero's journey begins. A space between love and hate where there's no escape from our fate. Rather than be irate, let's create, let's build the better world we know is possible. I've got no fear because we can overcome any obstacle. I stare all my demons in the face. I'll show you what's possible. I send love from my heart. I'm intuitive, not illogical. It's just that lately I've been searching for deeper meaning. I'm sick of drugs, booze, mindless sex, and criminal scheming. Feels like I should have more at this point in time. I'm talking knowledge, not money. I'm trying to feed my mind. Open up all three of my eyes and fly to the heavens. During my meditation, I see my life in chapters of seven. I connect to my inner child to heal my wounds. I recall those I've lost to dope, gone too soon. My life flashes before me, a collage of joy and pain. I recall the highs, the lows. I swear I'm going insane. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this journey. Spent too much time worried about things that don't concern me. No more time wasted, not chasing my dreams. I wake up every day knowing this world ain't what it seems. We gotta make our own path. We gotta find our own meaning, cause we can't be sure, we might be dreaming. All I know is, when I look in your eyes, I see myself. I'm just a reflection of your impression of my higher self. Could it be that our whole reason for being, our existence, is a lesson to teach us over and over until we get this? You are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Shake off your chains, you were blind, but now you see. Grandfather, help us remember where we come from. Grandmother, walk with us until the battle is won.